Well, well, well.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Our economy might not be as sickly as it seems. This morning, the government said GDP grew at 3.3% in the second quarter. That's the fastest pace in about a year. This is the revised GDP number for the quarter. The original reading was less than 2%. The U.S. export business is pretty healthy. But before we dig out the rose-colored glasses, exports might take a hit since other economies are starting to hit the skids, and there are no more tax rebates in the queue. But Wall Street is taking a moment to enjoy this. In the early going, the Dow is up 73 points to 11,575. The NASDAQ has put on 10, and the S&P 500 is up 7, all about 0.6%. There were mixed results in Asia by the close. European shares have turned things around on this report. Stocks in Europe are up more than 1% now. Today, the Justice Department may announce new guidelines for companies that get into legal trouble. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Here's what often happens when a corporation is suspected of wrongdoing. The firm tells the government it'll carry out its own investigation. Then a company might come back and say, "We found no wrongdoing." Then the government often says, "Well, okay, show us what you found." But what happens next is where the trouble starts, says securities professor James Cox at Duke University.
The response by the corporation is to say, "Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's protected by the attorney-client privilege, and we can't show that to you." So you don't know whether the report is, one, legitimate, or two, just a highly paid-for whitewash.
The government would often fight back by indicting these companies, a surefire way to create problems for shareholders. Now that may change. The New York Times reports that under the new Justice Department guidelines, companies won't be penalized for protecting attorney-client privilege or for paying their employees' legal fees. Cox thinks the Justice Department's going overboard, but Wall Street firms and their lawyers would likely be pleased with the changes. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
One company that always seems to be in legal trouble, Abercrombie and Fitch. It's had problems in the past with racial diversity issues. Now more employees are complaining they were discriminated against for the way they look. But this isn't about race. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
One girl says she was moved from sales to the stockroom because management told her she wasn't cute enough to mix with customers. Another employee has talked about a hierarchy of hotness. Wendy Liebman of WSL Strategic Retail says we shouldn't be surprised given that Abercrombie refers to its salespeople as models.
I think that says a lot about what do we expect. We expect the people for this brand at the front of the store to look like a model. And if you don't, then you get, you know, a different position in the store.
She says plenty of other companies follow similar staffing strategies, even if they're less obvious about it. But she says Abercrombie has never been shy about promoting itself with lithe young bodies and beautiful faces.
So they're not hiding behind any bushels or ugly people with their philosophy.
She says plenty of ordinary-looking shoppers are lured by the lush marketing. After all, she says most people aspire to be gorgeous. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
I'm not trying to be a shill for the record companies, but if you post music on the web illegally, you could get thrown in jail. Yesterday, the feds arrested a 27-year-old guy in Los Angeles. They say he posted 9 songs from the upcoming Guns N' Roses album on his blog website. He could get 3 to 5 years in prison. The GNR album comes out later this year. It's called Chinese Democracy. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, August 28th on Marketplace.org. We can talk GDP and economic indicators till we're blue in the face, but the bottom line is people just don't feel good about the economy. A survey out today from Rutgers University finds confidence in the job market at a 7-year low, and companies aren't feeling much better either. Today, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce comes out with its list of priorities. Danielle Carson takes a look.
The government needs to turn around a sagging housing industry, improve the credit market, and lower energy prices. But that's not all.
Making sure taxes stay as low as possible, increase our education and skill levels. We address the infrastructure shortages, that we address the entire energy issue, which we have failed to do.
That's the Chamber's chief economist, Marty Regalia. He says one big priority is extending the Bush administration's tax cuts. But Michael Ettlinger, an economist with the Center for American Progress, says someone has to pay for all those reforms.
The idea is that you're going to improve education, make investments in infrastructure, while also having tax cuts is pretty naive.
Both Regalia and Ettlinger do agree that Congress is unlikely to do much until next January. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
The price of gas and food hasn't cut into our spending on vices. Sales of candy, tobacco, and liquor have actually been on the rise. The world's biggest liquor company, Diageo, reported its profits today. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Diageo faces what it calls a challenging market, but the company certainly isn't crying into its beer. Net income for the year to the end of June is marginally higher, at $2.79 billion. The firm that makes Guinness Stout, Smirnoff Vodka and Johnnie Walker Whiskey is benefiting from its global spread. Profit growth has slowed in the US, UK and Spain, along with their slowing economies, but business is still brisk in emerging markets, Brazil, Russia, India and China. Overall, says drinks analyst Ollie Waring, Diageo is well placed to withstand any downturn. It shouldn't lose too many customers.
If times are tough, how are you going to soften the blow? People do like to drink, and that's one of the things that doesn't fall by the wayside. When belts need tightening, people still like a drink.
And for Diageo, it's still a case of the glass half full. The company is forecasting a rise in profits over the next 12 months by up to 9%. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here's yet another item going up in price. Firewood. Apparently, people are grabbing for alternatives to home heating oil. And one of the fastest growing markets for firewood? You'll never guess this one. New York City. Mark Foggin explains why.
Angel Rodriguez pulls up in his 24-foot panel truck in front of Sesmedy Brick Oven Pizza in Upper Manhattan. Even though it's the middle of summer, he's delivering firewood.
This is a loaded truck today.
Rodriguez piles a week's supply of split ash in front of the restaurant's brick oven. He makes the 200-mile round trip from Quakertown, PA twice each week during the summer. Rodriguez delivers to 50 restaurants in New York. That steady business is critical for his boss, Ron Heckman, otherwise known as Sam the Firewood Man.
Absolutely, they're my bread and butter. Without the restaurants, Sam the Firewood Man, which has been in existence 38 years now, would have been out of business probably in its second year.
Heckman says even though fuel costs have doubled in the past year, it's still worth the premium he gets delivering ash and cherry to the captive and growing market in New York City. Angelo Sessa, owner of Sesmedy, finds wood to be a good value.
It costs me around $700, $800 a month to run the oven. Okay, so if I were to choose between the wood and the gas, absolutely the wood would be the best flavor to give to any dishes.
And it's not just pizzerias. Real Barbecue relies on the smoke from wood for its slow-cooked flavor. Pete DeVersa is the pitmaster at the recently opened Hill Country Restaurant in Manhattan's Flatiron neighborhood. He actually has the wood for the restaurant's three SUV-sized smokers trucked up from Texas by the trailer load twice a year.
We use post oak because, one, it's besides being a fantastic wood, it's a slow burner, it's very hot, it's consistent, it's got a great, sweet, mild, smooth flavor, but tough to get around here. You have to actually ship it in. Love to give you my source, but it's one of our trade secrets.
And barbecue aficionados seem to agree. At a little after noon one recent weekday, the line for moist brisket was already out the door. In New York, I'm Mark Foggin for Marketplace.
The TV hit show Deal or No Deal went back on the air this week. Still searching for the first $1 million winner. But as with most of these game shows, people get to choose cash or prizes. So, if you happen to be on one of these shows, which one should you take? Survey says, well, actually, Jeff Tyler reports.
Driving in Los Angeles, Alyssa Churchick noticed a billboard for the game show Crosswords and thought,
well, I'm good at crosswords. I need to make some cash to get out of some debt. Why not go for it?
She won almost $10,000, plus a week in Hawaii.
And I actually chose not to accept that gift because of the taxes I would end up having to pay on it.
The IRS classifies merchandise and gifts as income. Steve Beverly has interviewed more than 400 game show winners. His advice?
Make sure that the winnings would be in cash.
That means steering clear of this show.
Come on down! You're the next contestant on The Price is Right!
Beverly says the showcase goodies won't seem so great come April 15th.
Oh, that's nice to think I've got four cars or that I've got three boats. But they're also adding to your tax bill and you don't have additional cash to pay them off.
But before you can worry about taxes, you need to win. Beverly says your best shot is on...
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is still the king of the payouts because it's scaled for someone to get into six figures or at least upper five figures.
Your odds on most game shows are better than in casinos or lotteries. Statistics professor Jeffrey Rosenthal is the author of Struck by Lightning, The Curious World of Probabilities.
You're more likely to be killed in a car accident driving to the store to buy your lottery ticket than you are to actually win the lottery jackpot.
The odds of winning that jackpot are 1 in 14 million. Compare that to a show like Deal or No Deal, where players have a 1 in 26 chance of picking the briefcase with $1 million.
So all you have to do is pick the case with $1 million. That's all you have to do.
All you have to do to get on a game show is survive an interview. Demonstrate enthusiasm, don't curse, and show that you won't freeze like a deer in headlights when the show goes live. In Los Angeles, I'm... Oh, I know this one. Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.